super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who puts the G in Grindhouse, the man who is more pissed off than everyone who voted for Obama and expected change. Ladies and gentlemen, 42nd Street Pete.
Hey, we're back. We're live. Sorry about last week and that repeat thing. What happened was Todd came down with some rare version of the Kansas City swine flu, not to be confused with the Newark or Oregon swine flu, but anyway, he's better now, and I couldn't, you know, it takes two of us to do this, him to produce and me to be an asshole. So, you know, he wasn't up to producing, but I'm always up to being an asshole. So, you know, one of us couldn't carry it. So we had to put on that wonderful Cinema Wasteland show. And speaking of Cinema Wasteland, a good friend of mine's with us tonight, Rob Housechild from Wild Eye Releasing, who you may remember from the Cinema Wasteland show. Rob, welcome to the Grindhouse.
And thank you for having me. Hey. What's up, guys?
I tell you what, that was like the first time ever when you walked in a hotel room and you had back alley ambiance.
And we can do that again.
We will.
We're good for that.
I think it's going to become our new every 6 months we're going to have to do that annual thing because that show's such a hit. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it is true. Anyway, I met Rob, what was it, a year ago?
About a year and a half ago now, maybe more.
Yeah, he was premiering this wonderful family film directed by Keith Crocker, whose attitude is just as shitty as mine, called Blitzkrieg Escape from Stalag 69. It was a retro look at, you know, the Nazi ploitation films, you know, done all tongue-in-cheek, pretty gory and nasty and stuff. And Robert invited me to premiere, and we became friends. And along with Don Wilson and Lee Peterson, the manager of the Pioneer at the time, we ran one hell of a Grindhouse summer. I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, yeah, right into the fall.
Yeah.
We packed the house like almost every weekend. We had a really good run there, man.
Yeah, it's a shame they fucked us, though, you know?
Well, I think they fucked themselves. Paying $30,000 a month in rent for a 100-seat box theater. You know, just do the math on it. Even if you sold out every night, 30 days a month, you'd still not make, you know, the rent and payroll. So it's just a losing battle trying to do anything in Manhattan that's not, you know, in the street. But even then, they hit you with a bill if you try to sell something in the street. So
yeah, it's definitely completely fucked up. But, you know, it was such a good thing because we had, like, the Corpse Grinders in 35, we had Zombie in 35, Night of the Living Dead on Halloween night at midnight, and our wonderful porn shows, too. Those were a lot of fun.
That's right.
And I was reunited with my long-lost daughters.
And you were reunited with your long-lost brother, Jamie Gillis.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Jamie, too, yeah.
Your daughters.
Yeah, I know.
Do I have to ask your permission if I want to date your daughters?
Yeah, you know, go ahead. They didn't get their looks from me, that's for damn sure, you know?
No, you don't seem like the kind of guy I would have to ask permission for. You'd be like, ah, fuck it. Do what you got to do.
No, well, you know something? They wanted to go trick-or-treating, and what I didn't know was something about they were turning tricks for treats. Ugh. So I don't think I got a problem with them doing anything right about now. And we made bank that night, too. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, did you know there's a energy drink, one of these, like, wacky energy drinks called Zombie Rampage?
That is really funny. I should be getting royalties.
Seriously, there is.
What's in it?
Todd. The essence of Todd is in it.
Oh, God.
I think in Pete's case, it'd be, I can only imagine what that drink would have in it. Jeez.
Why do I have this sterling reputation when shit like this comes up?
Because it's great. You know, I want to market a drink. We'll just call it Pete and Repeat.
Might work. I don't know what would you do with it. You'd be a combination of tequila and crystal meth. Something like that, you know.
Liquid meth.
Yeah.
Liquid meth.
Something marketable.
Yeah. And we'd have to put Grindhouse in the title somewhere.
And then have the fucking Weinstein sue us.
Well, you know what? At least we get publicity, right? And then I'd make fun of them for even trying to claim it. What kind of a dumb ass backwards shoe clown is going to be believing in their own hype that they could actually own the title Grindhouse when it was around before they were even thought of?
Yeah, I know.
Clown shoes.
They were sperm sloshing around in their old man's nutsack while I was sitting in a grindhouse drinking fucking cheap wine and smoking weed and enjoying a movie. That's what I say.
No, the let me ask you, Pete, because you're the authority. Is it,
yeah.
is it Grindhouse one word or Grindhouse two words?
Grindhouse one word.
It's one word.
One word. It's always been one word.
Like shithouse? Is that one word or two words? Maybe that's the Weinstein thing if it's together, because I think they...
Back when I was a kid, man, I was reading about these incredible double bills. And, of course, we had our own version of the Grindhouse here, but they didn't call it that. It was the Empire Theater, and it was an indoor drive-in is what we used to call it, because they'd show all the drive-in stuff on an indoor screen. But what ended up happening was I was reading all these different, you know, fanzines and early magazines, clear back, you know, the late 70s. Grindhouse was being tossed around then. People were talking about the 42nd Street Grindhouses, the Grindhouses up in L.A., and the reason they were called that was because they constantly were grinding movies 24/7 in there, and that's why they got the name Grindhouses, because it was one movie after another after another after another. And plus then it kind of took on its own meaning of the word grindhouse there on 42nd Street when Pete got old enough to go in there and brought the hookers with him.
I didn't bring any hookers.
Got his grind on right there at the house.
Like the one I'm doing tonight, because I'm trying to keep my temper in check, but we'll let that fly later on.
So modest, you know?
Actually, you know, speaking of being modest, you got a little feather in your cap with this thing you're doing now, this Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Oh, yeah. Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. We just cut an official DVD trailer. It's had several trailers as the project has been going on, but we just cut a DVD trailer. Twitch Film has been running it since yesterday exclusively for probably a week, and then it'll be all over the place. But I've already seen some people have stolen it from Twitch, put it on YouTube, and then put it on their blog as if they broke the news. It's kind of weird how the film community works online. There's no honor among thieves, I guess. But Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, about just under 150 artists from around the world took Romero's original film and, you know, just broke it up into all the scenes, animated it with, you know, CGI, puppets, stop motion, stills, photography, remade the movie. And then we took it, actually a guy named Mike Schneider, who's running the project, took it, edited it all together, and with the original soundtrack, music, and all the original dialogue, put the film back together. So it's this kind of retelling of the classic Night of the Living Dead, but, you know, with this whole new kind of like, remix culture. You know, it's done in holy style. So you're watching one scene, and it might go from, you know, a very simple line drawing type animation to a very weird, like, video game style, and they wind up talking to each other, all these different styles. It's totally fascinating and insane. But, yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
That's awesome.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's been screening since September. It had its premiere in Seattle at the Revenant Film Festival, and it's been screening all over the place. We're doing a it's played in the U.K. It's played in Canada. It was a Dead Fest in Canada. I'm trying to think where it just did a couple small screenings. It's been at, like, you know, the Yale Film Club showed it. It's been played at NYU. A club at NYU has played it. It's playing. We're actually showing it in New Jersey at a bar in 2 weeks on December 2nd at the Clash Bar. So if anybody's in the New Jersey area, it's a free screening. You know, come out and get drunk with us and watch the movie.
Yeah, it's a really cool bar. I was down there for one of them. It's a pretty cool bar. You know, we're trying to put something together, maybe a Toys for Tots thing, for like right before Christmas down there, if we can somehow pull it off. But I just haven't had a chance to do anything this week yet. So
they're interested in that, Pete. I don't know if I told you they are interested.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. It's just been like coming off. Like I was filming with this. Well, I'm going to get into that next week. But I was involved in a horror movie, an indie horror movie. It was actually shot in 16:8 and Super 8 over the weekend. It's not done yet, but I think I'm going to have them on next week. So I don't want to spill the beans on that. But I was like, you do that for 2 days and you're out in that shit weather we had here, because they had a lot of outdoor scenes and you get pretty beat up. So I'm just coming back from that. Plus, I found that it ain't smart for me to smoke cigars anymore. You know, if you can't grow it or drink it, fuck it. And even that's risky.
I was going to say, you do that too.
Yeah. Hey, did you send that to Ken, by the way, a copy of that? So he might want to get it up there.
Night of the Living Dead? Yeah. Yeah, I gave him a copy at the October show. Yeah. I haven't talked to him about it. But,
yeah, because actually that would fit in because it's a zombie thing, you know. The whole thing is a zombie theme weekend.
Yeah. I hope he digs it, man. We'll see what he says, you know.
Yeah, because they're going to be Romero's supposed to be in Jersey City, isn't he?
Yeah, they're doing a show.
One of the Dead.
Yeah, the Lowe's Jersey City, which is right in Journal Square. But I think it's in March, maybe. It's a couple March? Months from now. Romero's going to be here. Adrian Barbeau. All the Dawn of the Dead cast.
Yeah.
The original Dawn of the Dead. It's going to be great. And they're doing the original double bill, which I saw when I was a kid, which is Dawn of the Dead and Creepshow.
I didn't see it on a double bill. I saw them separate. You know, I'm way fucking older than you. So, yeah.
Right, that was 78, and then it ran for a while, but then it went into midnight shows, and then in about 82 or 83, when I saw it, it was Dawn of the Dead cut. A lot of the gore was cut down with Creepshow on a double bill.
Weird.
Yeah, I even have a old newspaper clipping from it, clipped out of the paper when I was a kid.
What's the point of Dawn of the Dead cut? That's just dumb.
But yeah, that's one of the one of those life changing screenings, sitting through those two films when you're 12 years old.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know how old I was when I saw. I'm trying to think. I might have been like 14 when I saw Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think so. 68.
They were still showing that, yeah. That was a drive-in classic. They were showing it every summer. I saw it when I was like 3. That was my first childhood memory, was Night of the Living Dead on the double bill with The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, and that movie.
Yeah, I like The Boy Who Cried Werewolf. Fuck that one. That sucked anyway.
I like that movie.
You know what? I saw Night of the Living Dead on a double bill with Slaves.
Hold on just a minute. Hold on. Let's go back. You glossed over that too quickly. How are you going to dog out Kerwin Matthews as a werewolf that looked like the dog next door? Come on.
I can dog him out. That movie sucked. Don't forget, I managed the drive-in and we were running that. And I never had any problems during the Snake movie, but I always had fucking problems during that for some reason. I never actually saw that until about a year ago. Now I know why I had problems, because the movie sucked. People were starting fights and shit.
I still like it. I don't know why. It's trash. Okay,
You have this thing for animals anyway. So
I got a thing for werewolf movies. You're right. It's like, yeah.
Oh, so do I, but you only got to be halfway decent, you know?
Did you ever notice the makeup in that? It had to be by the same guy that did The Beast Must Die, because they look almost like identical.
Good point. Good point. That's a favorite, too.
I like that movie, yeah. Pete's going to tell us that sucks now. Go ahead, tell us, Pete. Tell us it sucks.
Okay, it does suck. Okay, fine. I can say that.
You know why?
Because maybe it was the same guy. I don't even know.
Because it didn't have Desiree Cousteau or whatever on her knees in there blowing the werewolf. It wasn't any good.
That would be good cinema, actually. I always liked Desiree. She was a big girl. She was like 6 feet tall. I met her at The Melody.
I believe years that. Ago.
Yeah. It was another pivotal moment in my life. Something was pivoting around in my pants at that point, you know. Yeah, that was cool, because I used to always go over there and dance and shit. That was a pretty cool place. That and Show World used to have, like, names. Yeah, well, you know, the fuck, they're porn
Holy
stars,
crap.
But, you know, who gave a shit?
Rob, did you just catch that? He said he used to go over there and dance. I would pay to have video of that.
I didn't say that. I said porn stars used to go there and dance. I don't dance.
Oh, okay.
I could have swore he said we used to go over there and dance.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Man. Well, maybe there was a point where I was dancing with somebody, but it wasn't in fucking Show World, I'll tell you that.
So you're admitting to doing live shows?
No, I'm admitting to getting drunk and dancing on fucking bars with go-go girls till I got fucking evicted from the places. You know you can't do that? Well, I'm up here. Didn't stay up there very long now, did you?
The rules were much more liberal back then. You could probably touch.
Oh, yeah, forget about it. One time I had a big rubber dildo in the trunk of my car, and this chick was acting up, and I just brought it in and tossed it over the bar. That was another enchanted evening. It was great. Fucking bartender wanted to kill me after that. Oh, yeah, she was acting up. That was great.
Did they become part of her act?
Well, she kept, like, swatting him over the head with it because he was bald. So he wasn't too thrilled with her or me for bringing it in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I honestly don't even know what I was doing with a dildo in the trunk of my car. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, that was the next question, Pete.
Yeah.
It's your show. We'll let you slide on that one.
Let me slide on the dildo. Thank you. Great.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, come on. You've only been to Ohio twice. You haven't seen me slide on a dildo yet. But you know something? Maybe in the zombie show, maybe that might be the pivotal moment.
Live on the air.
Well, I'm working. I'm bringing the girls.
Well, the reason I said that is because of the last time we did a show, before the taping was done, the dildo was flying. So.
Oh, yeah. Somebody did
and
have
there,
a dildo.
And there was somebody there with a bottle in their pants, too.
and an incestuous
sister. That whole thing was pretty strange too. I can't look at Don the same way after that.
Sometimes the man just goes off the deep end.
Oh, he does have some creative moments, like when we got pulled over coming back from New Jersey, and he was supposed to be the only one sober, but he was semi-stoned, and the cop goes, well, where are you coming from? And he's like, taking a long time to figure out how to answer.
New York? Yeah. Where you guys come from, New York?
Yeah. What were you doing? Watching a movie. Have you been drinking? Yeah. No.
I think he did say something stupid. He did say, like, oh, we're coming from the Pioneer. He said something that the cop...
Yeah, he started to elaborate where he really shouldn't have. Usually it's yes, sir, no, sir, can I please go, sir? Once you start to elaborate, they're going to pick up on the fact that, yeah, you are fucked up because you're talking too much. That's what cops do. They're trained to do that.
I think cops expect you to be, you know, they expect a certain amount of fear because they get off on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you go too far and you start, like, you know, it's the ha-ba-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, Ralph Crandon.
Don was borderline. Yeah, was borderline that night. Yeah, he almost got us all out of the car, but that's all right.
Gee, we don't do that anymore. Well, you know, the opportunity has arisen, that's why.
No, back in the old days, you know, last October.
It was cool, though, closing the fucking bar at 4:30. That was like, we haven't done that in a while.
Close the theater, close the bar.
Yeah.
Sometimes go back to the theater.
If you're too fucked up to drive, go back to the theater and just wait a couple hours.
There's plenty of time to treat yourself to something good to eat at our refreshment center.
There's a town where law and order are dirty words, where you can buy a cop as easy as a beer, where the women are friendly as long as you've got the price. They call it Bucktown. Bucktown, starring Fred Williamson, Pam Grier, Thalamus Rasulala, and Tony King. They're the greatest black attack pack you'll ever see.
What the hell did you know about that?
And they're taking over Bucktown.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
You know any prayers, Cracker?
Damn, brother, you have become one violent dude.
Fred Williamson, Pam Grier, Thalamus Rasulala, and Tony King. Together, they're dynamite. In Bucktown, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
How about a big bag of Skittles? Lemon, lime, grape, watermelon. Oh!
Jackalope, 105 FM.
We told you the story of how we got locked in the theater.
Yeah, I heard that. This is good. You can tell the story on the air.
Well, it was Don, myself, and Lee. The theater had closed officially. And one night it was one of those, like, yeah, let's get together and, you know, have a couple beers. And then it was like, oh, you know what? Better yet, why don't we meet at the theater? I still have the keys. We'll go in and we'll throw some wrestling or crap on the screen. And we'll just sit and have beers or pass a pipe or something and watch stuff on the screen. So anyway, we get all mixed up in that. We're in the theater. We're trying to get the screen set up. And then, you know, we hear something, a very loud noise. So we go out to the lobby, and someone from the outside had closed the metal gate, which is a solid metal gate, not a see-through one, pulled it all the way down and locked us in. So here we are trapped in this theater. Nobody knows we're in there. And the first thing I think is, because I'm already paranoid for whatever reason, thinking, like, this is perfect. This is going to be a fire, and we're going to be trapped in here. It's just one of those, like, Murphy's Law moments where you read about stupid criminals. You read these stories, and it's like, this is that moment. We're going to be trapped in here. The place is going to burn down because there's a pizzeria right next door. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we somehow get private, and the doors, you know, the doors open outside. So these glass doors are now covered by this metal huge gate, and we somehow get the door open a little bit and get a pipe under the metal gate and pull it up a little bit, and here we are, like, you know, sticking our heads under, help, help us. And some guys walking by heard us and kind of like said, what's going on? We're trapped in here. Can you lift this gate? Thankfully, no one, they had put the lock on it, but they hadn't shut the lock. So the person just let us out. But we were in there for a good, like, you know, before that happened, before we got smart enough to say, like, let's try to call for help, it was like, should we call the cops? No, because we're not supposed to be here. Well, should we call the boss? No, because we're not supposed to be here. Should we call a friend? What should we do? You know, it's like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, in Manhattan, and no one knows we're here. What are we going to do? So, yeah, it's just a funny.
So,
silly story. So
yeah, that was pretty funny. You called me up. I was supposed to be there. I didn't show up. Something happened.
I forgot to get pictures. That's the only thing.
Yeah, because you called me up. You're never going to believe this. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. I'm really fucked up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny now, but at the moment it was pretty pretty scary, only because, you know, it was just, I had that, like, it's going to catch on fire.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of fire, Pete, the internet's on fire with some messages I'm reading about you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait a second. Let me take a hit of this booze here, because I got to steal myself for this shit. You may need more than that after I get done with this shit.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, this morning I get an email from Mike Razzo, and it says, "This is war." And I'm like, what the fuck? It seems that this torrent site that everybody's been having a problem with, Cinemageddon or something, has my new release, Hitler's Harlot, up there with the menus, and are telling people to go to After Hours website and download the cover if you want it. It seems that Mike called them, or somebody call them and asked them to remove the stuff, and they said, no, fuck you, we don't like your attitude. So I also heard that Severin Films had the same fucking problem. So I'm going back and forth with Mike. And I said, you know something? How much stuff do I have in the fucking pipeline right now? A couple more releases? He said, yeah. I go, you know something? Not for nothing. Fuck this. I'm done with it. I really and truly fucking sick of this shit. And I read something on AV Maniacs. And I put up a post basically saying that I am to the point now that I'm going to take whatever 50 some odd prints I have in 1,000 loops and take them out, soak them with gas and light them up and fucking call it a day. And everybody flipped out at this whole thing. And yeah, you know, I do get extreme. I do get fucking pissed off. I mean, a lot of people see me go fucking nuts, and it's just, you know, it's my way. I'm venting. I'm not going to hold this inside and blow a fucking hole in my guts with this shit. But this is bullshit. I basically said a lot of people that, you know, were saying, you know, well, I love your stuff, this and that, weren't paying for it. They're your friends and this and that. And believe me, and Todd knows this and you know this, I love my fans. My fans are the greatest. I'll do anything for my fans. And this was not directed at them, so don't take it as so. This is directed at these dweebs that think it's cool to download this shit. Now, obviously, when this fucking piece of shit site started, they were downloading stuff that obviously nobody could get. Old VHS download, shit like that. Okay, cool. If they, you know, it ain't available, it's fucking old, it's probably public domain, whatever, knock yourself out, because everybody's been fucking doing it. Now it comes down that you can have a fucking release out 2 days later, the fucker's up there. You know, Hollywood ain't doing shit. I mean, Blitzkrieg was up there. Gothkill was up there. You had them take it down. For some reason, they did it.
They have a rule that if your movie's in theatrical, they have like a 1 year rule or something if it had a theatrical. And that's the only reason Blitzkrieg was playing last August theatrically, and it was up there. And somebody, actually Keith told me about it, and he says, you got to do something about this. And I said, all right. So I just wrote them a nice letter and said, look, you know, we're a small company. I mean, this thing's still in theatrical. It's breaking the rule. Not to mention that we're just a micro company here, pretty much trying to live off this stuff hand to mouth. And they took it right down, and anything else that was Wild Eye, they took down. And as far as I know, there's nothing up there anymore, you know. And there is, you know, there is stuff up there that is available, you know, because I had to create an account to go on there. But there's also really rare stuff that'll never be on DVD, or you assume will never be on DVD, that is, you know, that collectors, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's like, you know, we spent, you know, when I started going to conventions, we spent hundreds of dollars buying all these, you know, rare imports and all this stuff that before DVD. So there's a need for some stuff that's never going to be out, or that's just impossible to find, or it's some TV print from Mexico or something, you know, whatever it is. There is a need for something like this, but then they do cross the line with that, because they're taking, you know, they're afraid, they're not going to put 2012 up there because they're afraid to get, you know, shut down by the big studios who have thousands of lawyers at their disposal. But for you or me, you know, we can't go after them because we're just trying to live off these things, you know, disc to disc, basically. So we can't do anything. So what do? You know, you just try to be nice to them, and they, you know, I guess it depends who you talk to there. I don't know how many people run this.
Well, I don't know. You know, like I said, I don't know what the conversation was. All I know is that they basically said, fuck you, we're putting all your shit up there, and you can't do nothing about it. Well, that's real fucking nice. And, like, the bottom line is, and I'm sure Hollywood loves this, because what's going to happen is it's going to crush all the indies out of business. Then Hollywood will clamp down on all the guys that are fucking ripping off them, and then you're going to have nothing but this Hollywood pablum that passes for fucking horror movies dished out to you. Indie guys, you know, you got to realize something, and, like, you know, my posts were pretty harsh. I'm a little bit fucking mellowed out now because I've been drinking for the last 2 fucking hours, and I had to do that to calm myself down because I'm ready to punch fucking walls out because of this shit. But it ain't fucking right. Now, put yourself in my shoes. You come up with something. You put your heart and soul into this fucking project. Forget about the fucking money, because that's not essential in this business, because you never get fucking money out of anything anyhow. And this is a fucking case in point. But here you are. You put a lot of effort, your personal shit into this, and they robbed it from you. That's my fucking beef, because I don't make fucking big money on this shit. You barely get by. You make enough on one to maybe replicate another. It's just, to me, it was fun. It was cool. I got the collection. Why not make it available? But when I said I was going to fucking burn this shit, people went fucking nuts. Oh, do this, do that, do the other thing. No, I was fucking serious. But you know something? A lot of people called me. They didn't email me. They actually called me up and says, look, we know where you're coming from. Please don't do it. You know, we respect what you're doing. You got to chill out. And I said, yeah, one guy called me unstable or something like that. Yeah, I flipped. That's what I fucking do. Ask anybody. I mean, I flipped on Todd one time, and it wasn't his fucking fault. It was some little sperm burper causing fucking problems. But that's what happens. But, you know, that's how I fucking vent.
Listen, let me take any of these guys that you know, either on AV Maniacs or run the Cinema Again, whatever, go to their house and take shit from their house. Are they going to get pissed off? I mean, it's really the same thing. I know there's an argument saying, like, well, some people can't afford it, blah, blah. But there are avenues for people who can't afford a $29 disc, a $20 disc. They can go to TLA and download Hitler's Harlots for $3.99. They can put it on Netflix or something, the equivalent. Yeah. I know it's probably not on Netflix because it's adult, but there's an equivalent way to do it that's not like, oh, hey, look, this just came out. Here, everybody have it for free. Even if, you know, the only thing that's working in our advantage, Pete and Todd, you as well, is that there aren't thousands and thousands of people doing this right now. But this is kind of the foreshadowing of what's to come. You know, this is just the beginning, because not everybody has the speed to do these downloads. Not everybody has the material to burn it, like Toast, or these programs to burn it. Not everybody understands how easy it is to do once you just get set up to do it. They might not have a DVD burner in their computer. They might only have a computer at work. They might not be able to download. So it's not, you know, maybe it's been downloaded. I mean, I could even go on and check how many times Hitler's Harlots was downloaded if it's still up there. You know, maybe 15, 20 times. I mean, that, okay, so do the math on that. But the principle you're coming from is correct, because it's setting a precedent for the next 5 years. You know, because if things, especially if things are going away from actually hard DVDs and everything's going, onto streaming and such, it's setting a very bad precedent for companies like us who can't afford to go after people who don't have lawyers at their disposal, who don't have all day to sit and watch every site, who are just trying to make a living doing this stuff, doing other things to support this, what we're doing with film. So it gets into weird territory there. It's almost like, you know, just don't do it. You know, if it's an out of print title, then maybe there's an exception. There has to be some kind of,
you know, basically what's out of print and what's not in print. And you know, the weird thing I've always said too is there's a lot of stuff that, you know, is American that's not available in this country. It's only available overseas, like some of the old AIP stuff. You know, like Machine Gun Kelly. You can't buy it over here. It's only available over there for some reason. It's weird.
Right. And then if it comes out legitimately, then, you know, take the title down. Take the torrent down. You know,
you know something else? What else I don't understand is, why the fuck are they doing this? It's a free download. There's got to be something else involved in this shit, because they're doing this for nothing to prove they got big fucking balls. Is this what it is?
No, no, it's free. Yeah, I don't think they're trying to screw you, because it's all about, you know, it's an addiction. You know what I mean? Like, you get into this stuff, and I remember myself when I first started going to the chiller shows and everything. You know, you you know, I went for every show. I would buy, you know, more and more titles, save up more money. You know, I was coming home with stacks of VHS and rare stuff, and I was buying through the catalogs, you know. And then when online started, you start buying through online, and it just kind of like, I have to have this. And you start to get to the genres you're interested in. I'm on Simba getting right now, Pete. It's been downloaded 124 times.
That's 124 times too many.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's $3,000 out of my pocket. Not that I would get $3,000, but that's $3,000 retail price for that fucking thing. Figure, I don't know, whatever the fuck they do. But yeah, that's a lot of money that was just fucking stolen from me. So yeah, so anybody who says I don't have a right to be pissed off, sorry, fuck you. You're not a fan of this shit. You're just helping these fucking thieves, because we work hard to do this. Transferring this shit is hard work to do it. You know, and I'm not saying I'm the end-all be-all, but I put a lot of effort into my fucking product, and I'm real careful about what I put out, make sure I'm within my legal parameters and shit. But you know something? Like I said, it keeps up. Fuck it. You know, maybe I'm calling attention to their site. Maybe people are going over there. But you know something? If anybody who owns that site is listening to me, you're a fucking crook. And you're a pussy because you're hiding behind it. You're up in Canada. You think the long arm of the law can't get you. Eventually, my friend, what happens in life is that everybody who fucks up and thinks they're ahead of the game gets caught. And when they get caught, they go down hard. Motherfucking hard. Like a fucking cinder block to your fucking face hard. That's what's going to happen to you, my friend. And it may not be me who does it, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, pally. You don't fucking know. You pissed off a lot of people, and you can sit up there and just, you know, la-di-da, you think you're fucking hot. You never know, dude. You never know. You never know what the fuck's going to come down the pike. And for you, because you're a no-good fucking crook, and you're just enabling people to fucking rob us, and for the people who are robbing us, you ain't much better, and you know you're fucking wrong. You know, if you really want the shit and you can't afford it, I'll cut you a fucking deal. Email me. I'll work with you. I'll give it to you at what blow my fucking cost if that's how hard up you are. I mean, can I do any better than that? But maybe I can't, so I don't know. But that's my fucking attitude. I'll help anybody out who needs fucking help. But now you just saw, case in fucking point, $3,000 that would have went back into the fucking company out the fucking window for nothing. Why are they doing this? They get their fucking jollies from doing this? Do they think all media should be free? You know something? Going back to the days, and I'm talking days of like when Deep Throat and that was around, and Gerard Damiano, Dave Friedman and shit like that, there was a way to handle shit like this. And I'm saying something, everybody got so goddamn politically fucking correct. Maybe that's the way some of this shit's got to be fucking handled. These fucking bootleggers that pop up at every fucking convention and shit with all current stuff and stuff that belongs to you, me, and everybody else. Fuck them. Maybe that's what they need, because they can sit there, oh, it'll never happen. You know something? A good fucking punch in the fucking face will wake your ass the fuck up. And don't think it may not happen sometime. Because somebody's going to get really fucking pissed off. I'm pissed off now, but you know something? I ain't fucking doing nothing. I'll let nature take its fucking course. All I got to do is back off, because I got the fucking product and nobody else does. So if I don't put it out, nobody else is going to put it out. So you can sit there and stick it in your ass, pal, because I can do shit like that. I can go fucking hustle some money for a living. I don't got to depend on this shit. I do it because I'm a fucking fan of this shit. And I like to give something back, and I think I'm putting out a good product. But I'll be fucked if I let some fucking douchebag up in a great frozen north fucking rip me off. So you've been fucking served, bitch.
I love it when Pete serves people on the show.
I'm glad you're not angry, Pete. I'm glad you're taking this. You have every right to be angry, and the AV Maniac site, what I saw there, you got a lot of support there. A lot of people have canceled their Cinemageddon sites. They're posting that they canceled their accounts. There's one post on Cinemageddon on the Hitler's Harlot torrent where they have like screen caps of the film and of your menu and everything, and it's somebody up there posted, After Hours is pissed off about this right now, and rightfully so. And that's somebody, who's a member of Cinemageddon, so not somebody, just you have to be a member, and you have to keep your account current by uploading and downloading to ratio, so one for one, basically.
Yeah.
So that's not the plant. That's somebody up there who's a member. You know, there is a line to be crossed. I think most people, listening to, you're pissed off, but within that, you bring up a good point. You know, $3,000, not a lot of money to Universal Pictures, a lot of money to After Hours Cinema, a lot of money to 42nd Street Pete, a lot of money to Wild Eye. You know what I mean? That could mean, we can put out two more titles a year. We might be able to go unearth something that you might not have seen or that you only read about, or we were able to transfer something and try to clean it up a little bit that you might want to see. But if you're just going to steal it, then you're going to wipe out indies altogether. People like myself and Pete and Todd are just not going to be able to do this anymore, and it is just going to become top heavy with studio product. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, generic fucking slop. I mean, we're all talking, like, basically the three of us are working together. We're hoping to, like, pool our resources in the future and come up with something really fucking cool, you know?
It's true.
Right, but if we say, yeah, in 2 years we're going to do a project, but, and then if we look at these reports, or let's say, this gets worse or whatever happens, and we say, well, you know what, if we spend 20 grand to do a project, we probably only make $5,000 back because DVD sales are down because of all the free downloading. It's not worth our time. So it's not going to see anything from not only people like us who have done something, but new filmmakers. Somebody who's 18 years old is not going to want to get three jobs and make a film. They're not going to want to like beg their family for money or ask their friends to be in a movie, because it's just the end result's not going to be worth it. The only reason somebody makes a film is because they want people to see it. And the only way for them to see it is to get distribution. The distribution only happens when there's money to be made. So, you're kind of just chopping that right down the middle, and you're kind of saying like, okay, make this stuff. We're not going to pay for it. We'll enjoy it, and we'll say good things about it, but we're definitely not going to, it's almost like the fans or moviegoers have started to control the content. It's almost like, well, that's a download. Oh, that's something I'll go see in the theater. No, that's a download. They get to decide what they're going to, whether or not your film's worth spending money on. Well, what happened to the days where you had to take a chance on a movie or music? You go into a record store and you look at a cover and let me take a chance on it. Not like I'm going to go home and get it for free. And this is something I've noticed at the conventions that I've done, is that people come to the table, and even if you're cutting down your price of your product, your DVDs, they'll say, I'm going to check the internet, see if I can get it cheaper. And they probably can, because there's always somebody somewhere who's willing to take a loss on DVDs because they sell in volume or whatever. So you can't even go sell your stuff directly to your fans anymore and make any money, because they've become smarter than the distribution system that's out there.
Well, also you have to keep in mind that, like, as far as just this week, someone told me, well, what's the ultimate reason you make movies? And I said, it's because I want people to watch them, people to enjoy them. I want people to have a good time. I make movies for people to enjoy. They said, well, if people are seeing them, isn't that the point? And I said, yes, but on these torrent sites, and some fool, I was raising hell earlier today, Pete and I were talking about YouTube. And I made a little video for my mice. I had some baby mice. I made a little video for them, and I put a song on there. And YouTube yanked it off, okay? It was on there a week, and they yanked it off because the song was a copyright violation, okay? Okay, I understand that. I didn't mean it to be. I just put a cool song on there to go with the video I'd made of my mice. It was kind of cute, So then, but yet, my entire Zombie Bloodbath series is on YouTube in sections, like part 1 of 10, part 1 of 9, and I'm like, hold on a minute here. What the hell? So some of Pete's stuff's on there too, like that. And so I wrote to, this is the fourth letter I've sent to YouTube. They still haven't pulled this guy's page. Mine got pulled in a week for nothing wrong really at all. An honest mistake. And that this guy's doing it blatantly. And here's my complaint. I do want people to see the movies, but if people aren't buying them from the distributor and I'm not able to make any money, I can't make any more movies for people to see, because it cost me money to make the movie. That's what people aren't understanding. I'm not money hungry at all. As a matter of fact, I wish I could just go out and give out 1,000 copies of Zombie Bloodbath tomorrow, but I can't, because it cost me money. I had to borrow that money from investors who I had to pay back, and the duplicators and the distributors who pay the duplicators, and all along the line, there's money being spent to put these in stores, and we have to pay that back. And then if I'm lucky, I might get a few $100 to profit that I can go and put into another movie. And, you have to be realistic as a filmmaker. I can't make movies to entertain people if I can't even have a budget to do so.
You got to make your money back. It is a business. I know that there's a loftier goal here for all of us, is that we want to do good work. We want to present good things. We want to have fun. We want the viewer to have fun. But at the end of the day, it's not, it's not a hobby. It's something that has to generate income, so everyone, and when you get out there in distribution, and you both know this, everyone along the line takes a piece of your movie. So by the time, you know, Pete, you sell a $30 DVD, by the time you get your cut, you're talking about a few dollars, not even, you know what I mean? Like, everybody along the line has taken a piece. So that's traditional distribution. So, you have to take that into consideration, and what the fans are doing is ultimately just hurting independent filmmakers. They're making it so that they're supporting, you know, they might say they're anti-Hollywood, they support independent film, and they very well could, and maybe they don't realize they're hurting the independent filmmaker when they do this, because they're making it so it's a system where only big money with big, you know, corporate legal power behind them can make films, because they're the only ones who can stop the thievery. So
I agree. And the same guys that are saying
it's hurting everyone, and it's not going to be overnight, but you'll see the difference. You'll see, you know, the movie stop, you know, coming out as much, or so many, you know, it's over glutted right now, but that will stop.
I have noticed that it has slowed down a lot in the stuff I like. The Euro horror has slowed down. A lot of the stuff I was really enjoying has slowed down. I mean,
what it is, in an economic downturn, there's no money for them, because most of the guys like us that would buy that shit, in my case, I don't put up with a lot of shit, so I'm self-employed. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and my whole income depends on what I can flip on eBay or flip here and there, and it ain't been happening lately. So, yeah, there's stuff out there I can't afford. And like I say, I don't get screeners. I mean, I asked somebody for a fucking screener this week because Scars wanted me to do something. I didn't get a screener. You know something? I'm going to be fucked right now if I'm going to go out and buy it. Fuck it. I'm getting to that point, too, because it isn't like I don't review the shit. It isn't like I sit there and trash it like other people do. If I don't like it, I simply fucking pass. But you know something? I'm in that mode now. Throw something fucking dumb in front of me, I watch it, I might just shred it like a fucking piece of beef.
There's 70,000 people out there talking about they're now wanting screeners from these companies, because ever since the internet, everybody's a film critic. And I'm like, legitimate film critics, you could count on two hands. The rest of these guys are just clamoring for freebies, and everybody's kind of gotten
wild. That's what it is, you know. Yep. Fucking shit winds up on eBay day after they get it, you know.
Sorry, how many people come up to you at a convention, Pete, and say, "Oh, I have this website, and it's, you know, it's a blog or whatever, and you know, I want to review." And I'm all into that. I mean, I love to hear people's opinions, and even when they don't like the films, I really like it. I put it up on Facebook. If it's a good trashing, man, everybody, I always like something that's well written, even if it's really against the film or whatever. But a lot of the times, it's just somebody, you know, to spit back the plot to you, or you know, say like, well, you know, just something, I don't know. I had to, you know, when I went to school, I had to take classes in criticism and theory, and you know, and learn how to criticize something when I went to get my English degree. I don't know if these people do the same thing. They might very well have done that, but
I doubt
you know,
it.
there is something to being a critic. You can't just say I'm a critic, or you know, I write film reviews, or there are diamonds in a rough. You know, there are always Rick Sullivans or the people who bring something from outside who are not traditionally trained into it, but you know, it in the same way, like somebody who's traditionally trained sometimes doesn't know how to talk about our movies. So you got to find that in between. You know, it's like I've had Blitzkrieg's been reviewed in the New York Times, and the guy didn't get it. So what? You know what I mean? It was reviewed in the New York Times, but he was a legitimate critic. But you know, it's like these things. You know, everybody just starting like a one page thing. I've had so many people like, oh, I have a blog. Can you send me some screeners? And I go, well, send me a link. And then I never hear back from them. It's like they just almost take a chance, you know. It's like, well, let me just tell this guy I'm a writer, you know. It's like, well, you know, what's it to me at a wholesale price? It's not a lot of a risk to take, but it starts to add up.
Yeah, I know. I get the same thing. Like somebody goes, oh, you know, let me have a copy of the Extreme Sleaze Showcase and I'll review it. What's to review? The fucking cover sold the damn thing, you know. And like I looked at the guy's site, and it's like, he's not doing any adult. Why did he want? Oh, he wants to see it. Okay, good. I'll knock $5 off the price.
Well, Pete, I mean, your show reaches more people in 1 month than any of these people do with an online zine, pretty much. I mean, there's some big ones like Bloody Disgusting and guys like that. You know, AV Maniacs, those guys are hitting some people. But the fact that you're having problems getting these movies for review is very frustrating, because you should tell these idiots, hey, you know, me talking about your movie on my radio show for a month is a lot more exposure than you're going to get from all these other review sites. It's true, because you have an audio outlet here. And let's be honest, in America right now, people would rather listen or watch than read.
Yeah, I know. That's fucking frightening and also disturbing at the same time.
I agree.
I like to read. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm going
to read. Well, people like to read status updates on Facebook. Like,
oh,
I'm
shit.
I'm eating
bacon right now.
I stuck this bagel in my ass and it tastes like shit. I don't understand.
Well, you know, it's weird. I'm still one of those people that buys the hard copy of stuff. I still go to the every month. I go to the newsstand. I go to Hastings. I pick up, you know, Phantom of the Movies. I pick up, you know, I can't now, but I used to pick up Psychotronic. I pick up Video Watchdog. I pick up even Fangoria. I pick up Gore Zone. I get Rue Morgue. I get all the stuff. I get everything I can get my hands on still because, number one, it's good bathroom reading, right? We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, I love to have a hard copy. I like to be able to, if I'm going to a video store, I want to be able to take something along, whip through it. I don't want to have to carry a damn laptop.
You know, you have to be, if you can't roll it up into your back pocket, you know, like there's something to touching it. You know, I think that's something that's getting lost. And the same with DVDs or collectibles, whatever it is that they like, they want to have a piece of it. Or are we just going to live in these, you know, empty rooms, nothing on the walls, and just everything's going to be on a computer screen? I mean, it sounds like science fiction, for Christ's sake.
To this day, I go into DVD stores like Hastings, and I want to look at the boxes. I want to peruse it. I want to hold the product in my hand, and I want to bring it home, and I want to enjoy the damn thing, even if it's awful. That makes it even better. I love all types of movies, bad, good, and indifferent. And one of the things that frustrates me is these guys that claim to be fans of your stuff, Pete, and of these grindhouse movies, they have a problem putting out $12.99 or $14.99, and I'm like, yeah, you're griping about it, yet The Orphan, they just went and bought The Orphan for $30 on Blu-ray, but they're griping because you're charging $15.99 for four movies. And I'm going, where the hell's your loyalty lie here? You just went and bought the Star Trek 3 DVD set for $35, but you're griping at Pete for $15 for four movies.
Those are softcore. So they're like, because, you know, with the softcore stuff, we can get it in places like Hastings and things. With the hardcore, forget about it. I mean, I already got one got knocked off an adult website for improper content. I'm like, how can I get it knocked off an adult website for improper content? That should be a fucking feather in my cap and a selling point, you know?
That was the old days, man.
And it was Superstars of the 70s Stags. And the loop in question was, I think, Linda Lovelace got fisted in this black and white loop. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? Okay, you have midgets, Todd's favorite. You have lactating women, pregnant women, he-she's, guys, chicks with dicks, guys with cunts, 400-pound fucking fat women. You're going to kick me off for a 40-year-old loop with a fisting scene in it? That's cool. That's cool. I'm happy about that.
Crack me up.
See, getting fucking thrown out of somewhere, I don't mind. It doesn't hurt as much as getting ripped off.
Oh, when Christian store owner or somebody gets pissed off. I mean, that's part, you know, that's a badge of honor, you know, when somebody doesn't want to carry you or you get banned off of YouTube or something for content. That's different, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's taking money out of your pocket, but it's actually, you know, that's okay because it's within the realm of, you know, what we do. But, you know, there's been a cheapening of, you know, remember the stuff that we all loved was considered garbage when it was out, even on VHS. It was maybe, you know, cheaper stuff, or it was always considered critically reviewed poorly. And then something happened when DVD came around. Companies like Anchor Bay and Synapse and these companies put this, you know, love into it, you know, the packaging and the extras, and paid this money for the rights to all these films. And it brought this stuff up to a certain level where it was, you know, at least competing with other, you know, a bigger Hollywood product on the shelves. So you can go get Nail Gun Massacre next to a copy of, you know, the latest Hollywood horror thing at Best Buy or whatever. And, you know, it really elevated what we love. But then, you know, it seems like sometimes this downloading and this kind of like, you know, give me this, I'll take this, you know, I'm not going to pay for it, cheapens it again. It brings it back down to, well, it's just a B-movie. Who's going to care if I take a copy of it? You know, it's almost like the reverence is now back to Hollywood. You know, it's like all that work that these guys did building up the genres we love has kind of been taken down again a little bit.
Rob, why don't you plug your website?
Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. You can go to notldr.com to read about the project. You can go to wildeyereleasing.com or wildeyedvd.com to check out what we're doing. The good news today is I just got word from our store distributors that Blitzkrieg and Gothkill are going to be in FYE stores around the country.
Blitz Creek is going to be at FYE stores. There is a God. There is a God.
Can you believe it? Yeah, they took it. They didn't want Bloody Ape, though. They refused the Bloody Ape, but they took Blitz Creek. I couldn't believe it.
I'm going to throw a quick plug in for Ross out at That's for Entertainment. He's right now at North Lynn Street in Iowa City, Iowa, but soon to be moving to a great location. And guys, we would live for a place like this. It's going to be an upstairs location next to a tattoo parlor and a head shop. Wow. How can you beat that? All you need is a liquor store and you're home free. So that's he carries all my stuff too. He's going strictly horror, cult, Pete stuff, and porn. It's going to be a great thing. So that's for entertainment.
Wow.
In Iowa City, Iowa, North Lynn Street.
You know, all those things you described almost sounded like your hotel room at Wasteland.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that interview we did when she was tattooing that chick's leg.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Something going.
Except the young girl's being spanked, that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was Saturday night. Friday night, somebody wanted to do an interview with me, and Amherst decided to do a tattoo right in front of us. So I was like, okay, this is fucked up. Let it go, you know? So
it was a fantastic, fantastic weekend. Can't wait to do that again.
I know. April can't come quick enough.
Rob, you're going to ride up with Pete? You're going to go do this thing or what?
I think so. I think, you know, to miss it would be foolish on my part.
Well, yeah, I think we should all just do a thing, and we'll just take a corner of the table or something, and we'll just do a jackalope thing, and you'll do a wild-eyed thing, and Pete'll do his thing, and we'll all just have a great time.
Well, hey, if they run Rob's film, Ken might give him a table or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk Ken into running Violent New Breed because it's got Rudy Ray Moore in his only horror movie.
Well, it's strictly a zombie weekend from what I understand. I don't know, though. He's got my fucking Dark Intruder up there on 16, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's going to be, you know how he is. There might be a few surprise. Plus, I got zombies in Violent New Breed. I got everything in there.
Oh, okay. If there's zombies in it, why not? You know,
that's right.
Okay, well, Rob, thanks for being on. Always a pleasure. Todd,
Thank
you're feeling
Travis.
Better. And will you torrent site motherfuckers and go fuck yourself? I'm not really sorry if I offended anybody, but... This will get to the bottom. This will straighten it out. This is 42nd Street Pete saying stay sick, and we'll see you next week.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.